means seeing your flaws, accepting them, and realizing I can do better. So these are just a few thoughts to think about on this podcast. So welcome to Winning with Trevor. I appreciate your ears, your minds, and the time that you spend contemplating how you can be successful.
Happy 4th of July, 2019. I hope you are having a good time today and have some responsible behaviors planned for this evening. Do not drink and drive. Do not text and drive. That is your PSA for today. So we're at the precursor to probably some of the hottest days of the year if you are in the South, where I'm at in Austin, Texas. Otherwise, maybe not. But we're about to have some 100-degree weather pretty soon. So the four maxims for this podcast are as follows. First of all, success, our current theme, and the different ways that someone can be successful, the small successes of life, as well as the large ones. What we can celebrate for ourselves sometimes is just, you know what? I went for a walk today. I saw a bird in a tree, and it looked like it was having the time of its life. And I saw this bird fly away with something for its nest, and that's a success, because I took a moment to get outside of my head, to observe the world outside of myself, and to really appreciate the small moments. That's a success. When we're constantly doing things, it's sometimes hard to take a moment to pause and reflect. I struggle with this sometimes, and those moments when we're fully present, we're fully in the now, that's a success. So success can definitely take different forms. And that's part of what we explore in this podcast, is how one can truly be successful in more ways than one. And the second maxim of the podcast is happiness, of course, because who doesn't want to be happy? We're all in the pursuit of happiness. We sometimes think that we're in the pursuit of wealth. We sometimes think that we're in the pursuit of career advancement. We're in the pursuit of recognition from our peers, our family, our friends. We're in the pursuit of someone that we're in love with, that we want to love us back. Sometimes we're in the pursuit of ghosts of the past, to try to imagine today as it used to be and wish for things that will never actually be again, because it was then, and this is now. And so all of that is sometimes relabeled as happiness, as the pursuit of happiness. But in reality, beyond everything that we are pursuing, we're actually just trying to be happy. That's all. We just don't know what that means. A lot of times we mix it up with excitement. A lot of times we have false beliefs that say, if I have this, then I'll be happy. If I have that, then I'll be happy. If this happens, then I'll be happy. If that happens, then I'll be happy. And it always places happiness in some faraway, distant place that is never really achievable. And that's only done because of perspective, because of the way we choose to think about things. And the power of our perspective truly is what leads to happiness and unhappiness and every other emotion that is a gradient in between that. And then the third maxim is personal responsibility, because of the simple fact we have to be able to take responsibility for our feelings, for our environment, for our emotions, for our trajectory, for our progress or lack of progress. It's up to us to really take ownership of our emotional development and the environment that we create outside of ourselves and inside. And then the last maxim is self-awareness, because we have to be self-aware in order to perceive anything else. We have to be aware. You know, I think the concept of consciousness is not something that has been scientifically able to be measured. It exists outside of the brain, but somehow is part of it in everything else. This meta-consciousness, this thinking about thinking, this metacognition, I think is the official term, is the ability to use our own perspective, to look at our own perspective, and then develop our own perspective from our perspective on our perspective. And maybe that will give you some perspective. It's amazing how much power we often give up because we are relying on other people to help us feel a certain way, when really it's up to us to take ownership of how we feel. It's up to us not to give another person the power over us to make us feel good or bad or anything else. Now, this is not to say that you should become some kind of, someone that is apathetic or is unable to enjoy life because you're too clinically and scientifically examining everything. That's not a goal anyone wants to strive towards. But at the same time, realizing how much personal power that you have by the decision that you make to allow someone to make you feel a certain way is definitely worth exploring. The problem that comes along with things like that is that it's nice to say this, it's nice to think about, and it's easy to agree with. Oh yeah, I agree. Why should I let someone else make me feel bad? That's a great idea. But then it comes down to real life. We get into situations, things happen, people get upset, words are said, sometimes not able to be taken back, and it creates a new impression of this other person with us, or we create a new impression for them of us based on what we say and do. And it's hard in those moments afterwards to not go over things over and over in your mind obsessively, wishing things were different, wishing that you could change the past, but you can't, unless you're, Michael J. Fox, the time machine. Did you know that Michael J. Fox actually is playing on a Netflix series called Designated Survivor? I didn't realize this. He looks completely different. He's much older. And anyways, I thought that was kind of interesting. But unless you're Michael J. Fox with the time machine, there's not a way you can go back and redo things. So there's nothing we can do about the regret that we have about things that we've said, things that we've done. It's easier to just let go of it. And not in an apathetic way, not in a sociopathic way of not caring about other people. We can still care. But it's just one of those things that it takes trial and error. It takes mindfulness. It takes the ability to truly say, okay, what's my investment in this? Have I truly invested in saying the word truly every other sentence? I think in this case I have. Have I truly invested too much of myself into this situation? Sometimes you might need to do something physical. Sometimes you might need to do something to get out of your head and get out of that zone. It's hard. I'm not speaking of anything for myself recently. This is not some long-winded analogy of something I've gone through. I'm actually doing really well right now. Thanks for asking. This is just kind of thoughts when it comes down to what it means to be self-aware and to be able to regulate yourself. I think self-awareness is talked about, but it's probably not emphasized enough with self-regulation and self-discipline. According to Will Smith, his idea of what it means to truly be happy in life is to have self-discipline. In his eyes, that's going to equal happiness because it means you're able to self-regulate and self-control and not let yourself F up your life. And so there's that aspect of it. The fact that how much is self-discipline really encouraged as we grow up? It's encouraged to the point that we don't piss off our parents. It's encouraged enough that we don't upset our teachers. It's encouraged enough that we don't ruin a job interview by over-disclosing about our life. So in that sense, there is a degree of self-discipline that is encouraged, but I mean, really, how much is self-discipline encouraged as young adults? Is our ability to self-regulate our hobbies, our vices? I mean, I live in Austin, Texas, and for those people that listen to this podcast that are in Israel, that are in other countries, as I see on the metrics for this podcast, you may not know this. You may know this. It's not like it's a secret. Austin's a party town. It's it's got a lot of that. Let's get drunk and do whatever. You know, let's get drunk and go bowling. Let's get drunk and go to a festival. Let's get drunk and throw axes while drinking whiskey. Yes, this happens. There are bars that provide this. So there's definitely an emphasis on not having self-discipline, of just kind of letting it go, letting it hang out all nasty like that. It is. It's one of those things where it hits you in the face, and if you're not along with the crowd, you know, woe to you, because you're not joining in. You're a party crasher. So having self-discipline is not something that's a social construct, at least in America, that's very encouraged. Now, go to more Asiatic countries across the ocean. I think they're pretty big on self-discipline. Now, I don't know, and I can't speak this with authority. I haven't actually been to China or Japan or Tokyo or Taiwan. But I do know that it's not as much encouraged as far as like self-autonomy goes, and the same kind of entrepreneurial pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do your own thing that we have in America. I think a lot of it is toe the line, obey the system, things like that. But still, at the same time, the sheer amount of discipline that is encouraged over there throughout people's lives, it's a stark contrast to what goes on into America. And this is not meant to be a, you know, socio-political debate or anthropological vlog blog podcast in any by any means. But it's just one of those things when you think about it, and you think about, okay, so Will Smith says self-discipline is really the key to happiness. I can see that. I can see how there's a powerful argument for that, in the sense that often, you know, there's a lot of regret about the things that we do when we don't exercise self-discipline, when we cheat on our diets and eat pizza and ice cream, when we, you know, get too drunk the night before we have to go to a job interview or have a college exam or just go to work in the morning, for those that are 9-to-5ers. So I think there's a lot of merit to that. I think there is truly a lot of merit to that. And as you can tell, I'm kind of thinking my way through this because I don't pre-script these podcasts. I don't write out everything. I just think about stuff, and I think it's interesting to share because I never really thought about it like that. You might have these four maxims that are pretty interesting, you know, success, happiness, you know, self-control, self-discipline, self-awareness, things like that I've talked about, understanding, you know, personal responsibility. Yeah, but in the specific context and framework of self-discipline by itself, standing alone, as such a huge, powerful force to give or take away in the absence of, right, self-discipline, happiness from people's lives. I can see that. I've never really thought about that, but I think it's interesting. I watched a motivational video that Will Smith put out recently, and you can find my version of that on my Instagram page at Trevor W. Goodchild, INC. And by the way, have you signed up for my newsletter? I bet you have. And if you haven't, tell a friend, trevorwgoodchild.com/subscribe. And by the way, okay, that's all I have. But, you know, I think it's fascinating when you have someone else suggest something to you that it seems so obvious. It's like, oh, well, of course. Yeah, everyone knows that. But it's not something everyone does. You can know it, not really do it. I mean, it makes perfect sense that self-discipline would be super important. I mean, it comes into play into all levels of life and relationship management skills, with your ability to handle both strangers that may be rude or kind to you, people that you're romantically involved in, having the self-discipline to not be too selfish about what you want versus what they want, knowing what an equal balance is when it comes to that, self-discipline when it comes to money management skills and investment strategies and learning when to stop at the buffet and not do the 17th slice. You know, thank you, Mr. Gaddy's. I actually haven't eaten there in years, but the concept is easy to understand. Self-discipline applies in your daily routine. You know, I have the whole kind of morning routine I love to do, winning the morning, right? As I think someone said this, I think it was Tim Ferriss. He has the whole winning the morning routine. It's not Brendan Burchard, it's Tim Ferriss. He's got this whole thing where he's like, you know, You need to wake up in the morning with a good routine that's going to get you in a good mood. And I really liked it. I didn't adopt this from him. I found out about it afterwards, but it really fits. When you start the day off on a good foot, when you spend time meditating on things that are positive, that you want, you're focusing on what you want to bring to yourself instead of what you don't, it really does help out with, you know, shaping the rest of your day. So do index cards with bullet points for what you want to achieve. That helps out too. But self-discipline plays a role in here, because without the self-discipline to kind of take that extra time out of your day to center yourself, to meditate, to visualize what you want to achieve, you're losing out. And for the record, I am not selling a program. This is not sponsored by a meditation program. I'm not selling a program on meditation, just for your information. I just think it's good. I've seen the before and afters. I feel good afterwards. I feel good during the day. A lot better if I meditate in the morning. And that's a product of self-discipline. So I can directly correlate with Will Smith on talking about how the self-discipline to do the things that are necessary that I think are going to better myself and my life have resulted in a happier state of mind. And I think that is definitely beneficial. I think it's something that should be explored more. And I don't know. I don't know if we have any kind of system right now that's instilled in place in the workplace for increasing self-discipline, and not just for following the rules and making sure your I's and, you know, are dotted and T's are crossed, as far as, like, you know, toe the line, be the rat in the maze, you know, head down, do your job. Of course, that's encouraged, but I don't know about as a kind of a wholesome community encouragement sort of thing for, like, personal development, if self-discipline is really explored that much. I don't think so. Maybe I should start doing that, start creating programs for that. I think that would be beneficial, because the result of increased self-discipline when you're doing things that are promoting your own wellness, your emotional and mental health, and your physical health, I think that's really, you know, long-term, big picture, it's great. You get a return on that investment versus, let me put it off till tomorrow, let me do whatever I feel like doing at the moment and just cater to my impulse as well. That's not going to lead you anywhere other than being someone who's probably in an overweight Walmart greeter and they've got a master's degree because no one's hiring right now. So self-discipline definitely helps out. And I think that's important. I think leadership skills are really important to encourage in our youth as well, because I think if young leaders can start out on a good foot, they can develop the habits that they need that won't be so hard to obtain later on in life. But when we start out young and we're given the right template, the right blueprint to go forward and say, okay, I think if I have these habits that are very constructive in my life, they're going to help me build a foundation that will create a better life that I can live in eventually. Yeah, I think that would be good. You know, what would also be great is if there was some sort of guide, some sort of template that was already organized to teach leadership skills to adults so that they could help be leaders in their community, be leaders in their workplace, to have better leadership skills to inspire other people. Wouldn't it be great if there was something like that out there? Well, I've got a great, great opportunity for you right now. All you have to do is go to trevorwgoodchild.com/leadership book and you can grab yourself a copy. Well, listen, thanks so much for tuning in to the 4th of July. I know it's been quite an interesting year so far. I think there's a lot of interesting things up ahead. I hope that everything in your life is going well. Thank you so much for tuning in. Feel free to give me any kind of feedback that you would like at trevor@trevorwgoodchild.com. If you know of a school that needs an inspirational youth speaker, feel free to go to my website, trevorwgoodchild.com, see examples of me speaking. And if that's something that you enjoy and you think the kids could benefit from, please feel free to reach out. So thank you so much again for tuning in to Winning with Trevor, your no BS guide for self-improvement. And I hope you have a great 4th of July. Thanks. Thanks. Thanks.
It means seeing your flaws, accepting them, and realizing I can do better. So these are a few thoughts to think.